Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedy ad free. That's amazon.com/comedy ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, welcome to another episode of the Video Games Now podcast. My name's Rodney and I'm joined on the Skype by Will.
Hey, how's it going?
And by Mark.
What's going on, VGN fans?
Yeah, so today we're going to be talking about a couple of things, mainly concerning Walmart's big screw-up in releasing the E3 lineup, and that'll be quite interesting because there's a couple games on here that we were expecting, but a couple that we weren't, so we'll definitely talk about that. And yeah, that's all coming up right now, and we're listening to DDR, so dance! I thought that was appropriate. All right, guys. I'm sure most of us are aware of this by now, but yeah, Walmart dropped the ball hard. And we were talking off the air. It was probably some poor guy that got promoted, and they're just like screwed with him. They're like, yeah, just make this page, and it has to go live. It has to go live, or else you're going to get fired. And here we are.
What do you mean it went live?
Like, well, because they got to build the page for the website, right?
Oh, this was a website. They were like on their website. Okay, I see. Yeah.
So how does that make your little heart feel, Mark? Have you seen the list?
No, actually, this is news to me. I just got home from the gym and get ready to make the phone call here. And then you guys are just throwing me this breaking news right now.
Okay, well, here's one for you. There's Final Fantasy VII Remake on here.
That's crazy. Why do that to us? Unless you're planning on releasing it sometime this year, don't be doing that. But that makes me think that, like, could we be seeing Final Fantasy VII the remake dropped later this year?
Well, it's got like a triple A. It's got
behind closed doors. These guys are saying, okay, look, here's the list. This is what, like, you guys should be expecting throughout the year. Am I correct?
Yeah, but I mean, it has a AAA price tag. Actually, all these games are the same price, except for the couple on here that are $66.96. But I think that those are just DLCs.
So when Final Fantasy VII does come out, obviously they'll have the original copy, but they could make the collector's edition. Couldn't they set the price to that? Throw in like a beanie or like a dummy of Cloud or something like that, and then put a ridiculous price tag on it.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, I'm sure that's happening.
Yeah. So if that's the way they're going,
they definitely will.
Count it here. This will be the biggest. This will break the record. Well, who holds the record right now? Is it Halo still?
For in what regard?
For first day people buying this game.
Oh.
Like opening weekend sales. It will break opening weekend sales, this game.
I'm going to look that up for us right now.
I'm looking it up right now, too.
I thought it was Halo.
The 8 biggest video game releases ever, which was done by Business Insider. And, oh, it looks like Call of Duty Black Ops made $360 million on the first day of its release.
Wow. Okay, so I'm gonna go out there saying Final Fantasy will do something around that.
Yeah, actually, Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 is right behind it with $310 million, Actually, Grand Theft Auto 4 is also 310 million, and then Halo Reach is 20 million. And then it's basically Halo, StarCraft.
Call of Duty, Call of Duty.
Pretty well, so, yeah. The flagships of all the consoles, basically. Mm-hmm. All right, yeah, that's cool. The one on here that we're all obviously expecting was Smash Brothers, because Nintendo already teased us with that Nintendo Direct. So
yeah, so we knew that was coming already.
Yeah,
we just don't have a release date. I think it did say this year, though, did it not?
It did. It said 2018.
Yeah.
So
it's been a while since Smash Brothers.
You know what? I feel like I really hate this song, so I'm gonna change the song. I don't know. I'm just gonna delete it right now. I'm deleting. I'm doing it.
I don't mind it.
Move to trash. Oh no, man! It gets so annoying. So I just deleted that song, and we're gonna do this one instead. anyways, we have I wonder what Smash Brothers is gonna be like, because when was the last one released? You know what? It's actually been a while. 2014, I think. Year? No, it wasn't 2000.
Oh, 2 years?
I remember talking about this with Cole, and we were like shocked that it came out. Like, I think it was 2014. I put Smash.
No, not 2014. The last Smash that came out for
the 3DS first. And yeah, it was 2014, September 13th, 2014.
What about for console? There must have been there. Like there
it was
been
still.
One.
Yeah, it was Wii U.
Yeah,
September 13th.
Yeah, so wow, yeah, it came out on the 3DS crazy. First. It came out on the. I remember it came out on the 3DS in like August or something like that, like a month or two before, and then it came out on the Wii U after. So
that's like playing Fortnite mobile. That doesn't count.
Well, it's. I mean, yeah, you could still play on Wii U like with your 3DS. So that was cool, mind you. Oh, yeah, they had to get innovative with the amount of players, because there was 8-player Smash at that point. So, but yeah, four years ago. It feels like last year that Smash Bros. Got released, but yeah, I guess it's been 4 years now.
How does nobody, like, complain? Like, why has it been so long since there's been a new Smash?
Because Smash Bros. Has such, like, a high replay value that you can play it for 4 years straight. Like, there's people, like, my brother still plays Smash Bros., like, a lot. You know, it's been out for 4 years, yeah. Okay. So, and he, well, mighty, he's practicing for tournaments and stuff, but... Yeah, like it has a lot of replay value, and Nintendo does release games like that where they have a lot of replay value, and you can wait the 4 or 5 years for the new one.
Looking at these dates, though, Rodney, the 3DS version for North America came out October 3rd, 2014, and the Wii U edition came out November 21st.
Yeah, I thought it'd be like a month or so before the Wii U. That's what I remember.
Yeah, the September, though, was Japan.
Oh, that's what it was. Okay. I just Googled it quickly so I could, you know, sound smart. But anyways, looking at this this leaked list again, there's a Switch title on here that'll excite a lot of fans, but looks like a Metroid Prime 4 for the Switch is in this little leak list. So there hasn't been a Metroid Prime since the Cube, eh?
Yeah, since Cube. That was sweet. I loved that. That was an awesome game.
Yeah.
Wasn't there one for the Wii? Yeah, Wii. I swore there was.
I don't know, but if it did, no one remembered it like you could remember the one for Cube. Like, that one. And it's like, it was so tough. I remember going back and trying to beat it 100% because I wanted her to take off her full helmet at the end.
Oh, is that... Yeah, I didn't play
to
the end.
That's what it was.
I didn't play to the end. So
like, it was dependent on how much you did.
Yeah.
So if you only beat the game but you only did 50% of the stuff, then they didn't, you got a bad ending. And then there was three different endings you could get, and I only got the middle ending. So you saw like half of her face.
Right. I see Wii on here, I mean, I'm just like glancing.
It looks
over.
Like a remake.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. That's too bad. So Metro Prime 4, but I'm only seeing one Metro Prime. Am I just like oblivious to what's going on here, or what?
No, I'm seeing the same thing as you. So,
okay, well, Wikipedia's lies. anyways, yeah. So this Metroid Prime, that's gonna be good, because yeah, people have been screaming for a Metroid Prime game. So this it's very exciting that it's actually coming to the Switch. How do you think they're going to change it up from the past series, Mark? Or the past game, rather.
Well, like with the past one, it was really dark, which I really liked. And there was a lot of like puzzles in it. The ball mode was really cool. I mean, bringing it into, and that was like, again, like, man, when did Cube come out?
2001, I think.
2001?
Yeah.
It was like, I almost thought like that, it was ahead of its time in the way it was just, that was pretty cool. So this, I want to see that, but I want to see obviously better graphics. I want to see that game, but I want to see it in 2018.
Yeah.
And they just have to build off of that frame, because it was actually a great, like, Will, do you want to back me up on how great Cube Metroid Prime was? Like, did you play it or?
Oh, I did. I played a lot of it. I remember GameCube for me was one of my childhood favorites. So
It was my favorite system for a bit there. But it was sweet. It was really dark. The combat system was cool. I can't wait to see what they're gonna do with it. High expectations over here.
How do you think they're gonna implement the gyros into the game? Like, maybe, you know what, actually be really
the
stupid
ball system where,
yeah, I think because I just thought of that mini game from Zelda Twilight Princess where you like have the ball and you had to like move the Wii remote, or even like in Breath of the Wild those puzzles where you had the ball and you had to like lay the control the switch pad or whatever flat and then like move the ball around. Like, I really hope that's not what's gonna happen. That'd be awful.
Oh, that would be tough. For I think it'd be easy if you had your Switch as like a Game Boy.
Yeah.
You just move the Switch around. But having to do it with like, do you guys still have the nunchuck? So that might be a little tougher.
For sure. So I'm just looking at the launch titles for the Cube, and like they had some garbage out there. There was some freaking garbage. They had the best game they had for the launch was Luigi's Mansion, which was a good game actually. So
that was a sweet game, man.
Yeah, but
and then right after they followed it up with Mario Sunshine, and then they had Animal Crossing, which was had a huge cult following.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
I can't remember the name of it, but I remember there being two really good horror games for the Cube.
Oh, you know which one
Resident
I really
Evil?
Liked? It was the one, I can't remember what it's called, but you literally, your character would go insane. So like all of a sudden, you're playing through the game, you walk into a room and then there's like bathtub filled with blood and then you'd hear a shriek. And then you walk into the other room and the room starts bleeding. And then all of a sudden it'll say it's deleting your game. Like you'll go to save it and quit and it'll say deleting save files. That one was really good. I remember that scaring the bejesus out of me when I was a kid.
Was it just screwing with you? Like it's not deleting your file, but it's like...
No, it wasn't deleting your file. The bathtub and stuff wasn't there. You'd actually get like, you'd walk into a room and it was like a mini video and all of a sudden you'd see it there and there'd be something to boom scare you and then you'd go back and there's nothing there. So it was just like the game that gave you like the willies.
You know what?
It's Eternal Darkness.
Eternal Darkness.
That's the one I was thinking of. Yeah.
I kind of knew you were because we've talked about this before.
Yeah, there's been rumors for the last little while as well that Nintendo has actually been making a sequel for this for the Switch. So
why not? Let's go.
It would be interesting.
Come on, like. They have Nintendo. I don't know why Nintendo does this. They have such good stuff in the vault. And, like, I don't understand why they don't bring some of these classics back. Like, Eternal Darkness actually scared the crap out of me. And, like, they need that game. They need some of those games when, like, it seems like they dumb Nintendo down throughout the years. And, like, you know what I mean? Like, making more, or they changed their target audience to, like, little kids.
Well,
yeah, I agree a little bit.
But I don't think they changed it.
When you're bringing out Wii Band and Wii, like Wii Sing Along, stuff like that, like
I don't think they changed their target audience because, like, in the 90s and early 2000s, we were the target audience, so it felt directed towards us. But now that we're like full blown adults, you know.
Yeah, but no, like look at titles like the Metroid Prime, Eternal Darkness, the dark. You don't see those much anymore. Like, what's the darkest title the Switch has right now?
Zombie U, which is what I was gonna bring up for the last like 2 minutes. Zombie U, I do not ever want to play that game in the dark ever again.
I hated that game for the Wii U, man. I'd always get killed, so I'd scream after I got like attacked out of nowhere, and then I'd have to go back and fight my old character.
Am I the only one that just imagined Will like squealing like a little girl because he got attacked by zombies?
Actually, I can't say anything because I was playing The Last of Us with him, and there was a couple times the clickers grabbed me and I screamed like a little girl too.
Oh, you were just screaming. That was some fun, man. Oh, we got to stream you playing that. That would be awesome.
But you know what? Actually, going back to Zombie U, I really enjoyed that game. It was really well done, especially for the Wii U, because they put everything that's usually on screen onto the gamepad. So your item selection, your map, your radar, everything like that was on the gamepad. So you actually had to look away, look down at the gamepad and take yourself out of the game. And by doing this, there might be zombies nearby, right? So there's the sonar thing for those who haven't played it. So if you earlier in the game, you get a sonar thing. So you push this button and it releases a sonar wave and it tells you if there's zombies nearby. And then later on in the game, it starts to become automatic. So you don't even have to push the button anymore. It'll just start automatically doing it. But I was in a building and I pushed the thing and there were so many zombies nearby. But like I did, so I couldn't like take my eyes off the screen. I would have got attacked and just wrecked. But then there's one part in the game where you go down to this like child's nursery that's obviously been overrun by zombies, and you go in there.
That
and it's
was
just
scary.
Super creepy. Yeah, man. There's like the creepy children's music playing, and they like go into the basement, and then your map goes offline, and you're totally blind, and you're like, oh my god! And oh, that game was super terrifying. It was really good though.
Hey, Rodney, I remember playing that, and literally every hair on my arm just stood straight up once the children's music went off.
Yeah, and I beat it. Yeah,
nice.
Yeah, there's two different modes, right? There's the regular mode where, like you said, Will, when you die, you have to go kill your old self to get all your stuff back. But then there's the hardcore mode where it's like you get one life,
and you're done.
Yeah, and ammo is super hard to find. Like, you save every shot until, like, you absolutely, like, need it. Like, I had a machine gun, or not a machine gun, like, an assault rifle, Mark. And I did not use one shot of that assault rifle until, like, the end of the game. When, like, I was getting chased by, like, 20 zombies. And I'm like, oh my god. And, like, I'm boarding up the door. And then just, oh, it was insane. Yeah,
those games are so hard. Like, I'm playing The Last of Us, and it's my first playthrough. And I'm not good at the whole sneaking around, throwing bottles to distract that one area, and then like trying to get around this area. And then not to mention that the aiming with the joystick or with the PS4 pad, it's kind of tough. So it's like you all end up spending more of my materials and my ammo than I need to in that one fight that I could probably just snuck around.
Yeah. All right, going back to the list here, we got a little bit sidetracked on scary games.
Let's go back to the first one, though. The one that pops out to me right here at the very top of the list is Division 2.
Ooh, Tom Clancy, that's going to be a good one.
When was the first one released?
Oh, 2016?
Right, yeah. Okay. All right, cool. And then another Splinter Cell, that's also Tom Clancy.
Yep. I'm really looking forward to that because they just teased that with Wildlands. They have a mission they introduced that has Sam Fisher in it. But what made me really excited about it is they brought back the original voice actor for Sam Fisher, Michael Ironside.
Tam was telling me about this too in Ghostlands. Solid Snake was there or something like that. Or they teased him. They teased the next one.
How does a guy with a last name like Ironside get beat up in school? I just don't understand.
Like, I don't think he did, man. He's always been really intimidating. Haven't you heard his voice? Like, every character he's played in movies, stuff like that, he's usually a bad guy just because of the way he looks. Bald, goatee.
I bet you before he hit puberty, he had a little voice like this. And then he grew up, and then they're like, oh, don't screw with Iron Hammer. He's got a super deep voice. Yeah, Ironside. Yeah, he's got a deep voice. I know it was Ironside. I was making a joke.
Yeah. No, so if this is legit and they've been teasing it for a while, a new Splinter Cell, I would be really happy if they brought back Michael Ironside as the voice of Sam Fisher. It's not that I didn't like the voice that they replaced him with in the last one. It's just didn't seem like Sam Fisher.
Yeah.
No, classic. Like, I remember playing the first one, and the first one was awesome. And he's good. It was good.
There's a couple of DLC things on this list as well. There's something for Assassin's Creed Origins. It's called the Ace Helix, and that'll be interesting. I think, you know what, I see that, and then right down the list, there's something for Far Cry 5 too. It's the the double XL Silver Bars add-on, which is $60. And we were talking about this off the air. This to me doesn't warrant me buying $66 worth of add-ons, like, for Silver Bars. Like, what is that? What that is?
I don't know. Or maybe it's the three, like we said, the three. You can get the three. The add-ons or whatever when they come out, I'm not sure.
Well, yeah, there's the DLCs. I think you're gonna have to buy the season's pass for that, though. I don't think that this Silver Bars add-on would do anything. Mind you, it'll probably get told during E3 what it actually is. This is just a leak list, but I don't know. I'm kind of unhappy with the ending for Far Cry 5. Totally, like, pissed me off. I told Mark about it off the air, and then now he kind of doesn't want to play it anymore. So,
well, like, yeah, that's two games that Far Cry, like, it was good. It was just like the whole thing did get a little repetitive towards the end of that's where I kind of was with it.
Well, yeah, and then you put it down to play other games, and then
and it was just hard to pick back up. Like,
see, if you're,
I guess why I kind of put down Assassin's Creed as well. Like, I still have to go back and play that, because Assassin's Creed is, you can't compare that to Far Cry.
Yeah.
But it's a similar, where it's like, go here, get this, go here.
The Ubisoft generic BS.
Yes. Yes.
Because, any Assassin's Creed, or even any of the Far Cries, it is repetitive, right? That's the Ubisoft formula.
It's the same thing. Like, look at Assassin's Creed. You're going through the tiers of guys to get to the top guy. And then Far Cry was the same way. Just kill the three head bosses till you get to the main boss.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
All right. I want to talk about this for a second. So there's something here called Destiny Comet, which I imagine is Bungie's last attempt to save the Destiny franchise before it gets bombed forever. So what do you guys think that entails, Will?
I'm going to say Comet is the next big DLC, because the newest one apparently has just come out, which is Warmind. And from the early reviews I've seen, people are describing it as promising but disappointing.
The Warmind, you mean? Sorry, Warmind is, you mean?
Yeah, that's what they're describing it as. Promising but disappointing.
Interesting.
So, Will, is it going to be enough for you to reinstall it after you uninstalled it?
No, it's definitely not. I think I'm done with Destiny. This is probably a game that I'll probably be trading in finally, and it'll be going towards one of the next games for E3.
So, as of January 4th, 85% of Destiny 2's player base has disappeared from the servers.
Wow. Yeah.
So,
talk about a ghost town.
But,
that's crazy. 84%?
85%. So,
wow.
I don't know how many people actually were playing Destiny 2. Someone's made a chart. I think I should take a look at that right now. Buddy. There was a small spike. I gotta try to enhance this. You guys talk about how crappy Destiny 2 is. Go.
Well, I'm the only one that's played it out of the three of us. So.
Well, I see. My problem with Destiny is I really like that was. I think it wasn't one of the first PlayStation games, was it? Like when it launched.
No, it was one of the because when it came out for all the consoles, right? It's always been multi-platform, so.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, because I watched a bunch of the original, and I watched my buddy play it. And it just there was nothing. It was go here, loot this cavern or whatever, and then go back and then fix all your weapons and go do it again. It did not look like my type of game, so I was...
Yeah, the one thing I'll give Destiny 2 is it did have a story compared to the first one. So if you play through campaign, it actually has an entertaining story. But then once you're done, it's literally just grinding for gear and stuff like that. And it's just way too repetitive and not that fun. It just doesn't really interest me to keep going back.
That was my problem with it too, especially with the first one. And it sounds like 2 didn't really fix any of the problems that the first one had. So it got released... September 6th, 2017, and I'm just looking at the graph here. September 6th, right there. So September 6th, the day of launch, it had 1.3 million players, and now fast forward to, this just goes to the end of the year, end of 2017, and the players, it's like barely above 400,000 at the end of the year. So yeah, it lost.
That's North America.
Yeah, so they lost a million players.
Yeah, that's wow.
So that's insane. So
that's
pretty
bad.
That's really bad.
Do you think it'll spike again when this next DLC comes out?
I don't think probably very much. I think, you know, there's enough good material out right now where people won't go back to Destiny 2. Like we have God of War, we have Sea of Thieves. There's a ton of stuff coming out. And people
it's
are just
too much. Done.
Yeah, if you've pissed off a fan base that bad, where 85% of your population is gone, I don't think they're going to be coming back to Destiny 2 anytime soon.
Will, could you imagine if Elder Scrolls did something like that? Pissed off half the population, there's 90% of people up in the left.
Yeah, but I just can't see them doing it because Bethesda's always been very good with their games. They listen to their fans, and I think that's why they're such a successful company.
Sorry, I didn't want to switch topics, but I also wanted to throw some love to Elder Scrolls because Somerset is dropping June 1st.
Yeah, that's where Mark and I will be.
Yeah. Well, it looks pretty good. Will, do you want to talk about that a bit?
We'll talk about that maybe at the end of the podcast, but let's go through a couple more of these games. There's quite a few of them that were leaked here by Walmart. Like we know already, we have Last of Us 2, which has already been announced. Another big one, though, here is Just Cause 4. Any fans of the Just Cause series out there should be excited for that. I was never a big fan of Just Cause 1, but Just Cause 2 and 3 were really good games. Did you guys play them?
No, I never played it because, come on, I don't play any other games except for, like, Mario. Come on. Mario and Zelda. No, I'm going to look up a trailer and I'll tell you if I might enjoy it.
Okay. While you look that up, we'll go through a couple more games.
Let's go through the list here, yeah.
Yeah, we have Dragon Quest 2. That's a Japanese RPG. Dragon Quest is usually on the 3DS and stuff like that and whatnot. So it's cool to see it making a leap to the PS4 and Xbox One. We also have, what is that here? Oh, Borderlands 3. I was a big fan of Borderlands, so I know Gearbox has been teasing this one for a while. And I'm hoping that's a true leak and they'll probably announce that with some sort of trailer at E3.
Yeah, I played Borderlands 2, and you know what? I might have been going through a phase where it's like if it wasn't Halo, it was garbage. I did play Borderlands 2. I probably played like 6 hours worth of Borderlands 2, but then I just got kind of bored, honestly.
I'm going to agree with Roddy there. I wasn't a big fan of the Borderlands series. Neither of them. I know they were pretty big, and I played quite a bit of the first one, and I played the second one with my buddies a lot. Wasn't the biggest fan. It wasn't anything great.
The second one and the pre-sequel were really good, I thought. The first one I kind of lost interest in, and so it took me a while to actually finish the game.
I'm just watching the gameplay for Just Cause 3, and this guy's been squirrel flying. He's like, this is some garbage. There's the physics for the squirrel suit just suck.
No, but literally he has a grappling hook, right? So he'll like jump onto like a grapple hook to a car or something.
Yep.
And then he'll like release his parachute and just glide around the map. It's super fun.
Interesting. And then he literally just landed. He belly flopped onto the pavement, probably doing like 200K and gets up. Oh, and now he just got hit by a car, gets up.
Just imagine Just Cause being like the Fast and the Furious franchise, just full of cheese.
This is the Fast and Furious franchise. Man, Fast and the Furious 6, I've never been so freaking mad at a movie in my life. I just was so mad.
I saw that on TV with Alex, and I was so mad. The guy jumps out of a moving car.
Yeah, oh, I know.
Going 120, no. Gets up.
He didn't jump out. He just like intentionally crashed the car so that he could go flying through the windshield at 140 miles an hour, catch the girl in midair, like the timing for that is insane, and then cradles her and then lands still at 140 miles an hour into a car windshield, and then they both get up unscathed. Like, and he's like, doesn't even have blood on him. I'm like, what is going on?
I gotta give another shout out though for Fast and the Furious. Did you guys watch the 8th one, the newest one?
No, after 6, I'm like, I don't want to watch any more of these movies.
Yeah, I was done. I was done after 6 and 7.
Oh, okay, but you did watch 7. Do you remember the part when they're in Dubai and they take that like that $2 million Maserati from like the top floor, and they like go right out the window, and drive like into another building? Like, what the hell?
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, that's full of cheese.
And then 6 again, like after that scene, you're like, this movie's dumb. It has like, they basically established that, okay, it's in the real world, right? So the laws of physics and the laws of everything else that we know in the real world apply. And then they pull garbage like that. And then they are on this plane, this cargo plane, and it takes like 20 minutes to take off. And they're like fighting on the wing. I'm like, what? No, this is so dumb. Who thought this was a good idea? But I'm still watching the Just Cause 3 gameplay, and this guy's been hit by like 8 cars and he's still walking around just fine.
What else is on the, is there anything like what else is on the list?
That's pretty much all of them.
Pretty much it.
There's like another Assassin's Creed on here, but I don't know if that's a remake or a new one. I doubt it's a new one because Origins got released last year, so I doubt it's a new one, but it's probably some sort of a remake. Will and I were kind of speculating that it's something to do with Assassin's Creed 4 Black Flag, because they're releasing Skull and Bones later in the year, which is kind of like the equivalent to Sea of Thieves, but it's a little bit...
Oh, I've heard... Will was telling us Skull and Bones is coming out for PlayStation, correct?
And Xbox, I'm pretty sure. It's and multi-platform, but it's basically Sea of Thieves HD, and it's not like leveled, so people with better gear, better stuff will probably do better than others.
Because Sea of Thieves was Microsoft, correct, right? That's why,
But have you
played... developing this one?
Ubisoft.
Ubisoft.
So you probably got to climb every crow's nest in the game and unlock all the crow's nest things.
Fail to every point of the map.
Yeah.
Well, apparently Skull and Bones, though, is mostly naval.
Yeah, so it just takes everything from Black Flag that has to do with fighting pirates, and that's the game?
Pretty much.
I don't know how...
I haven't really showed off it too much other than like a bit of the trailer and some stuff last year, I remember. So I bet you we'll see a lot more at E3 during the Ubisoft conference, which I think is on Sunday or Saturday. I got to check the E3 schedule. We'll go through all that in a couple weeks.
What would be cool is if you could do both. Like, you could be named like Skull and Bones, right? So like, you could either be pirates or you could be with the Navy.
That'd be cool, yeah.
That'd be cool, and I wouldn't be surprised if they add that. They haven't really shown off too much of the game.
I don't know.
Navy's always was in Black Flag. I remember that.
I've seen some gameplay videos, and it just doesn't... It just didn't grab me.
Are you not going to... Go ahead, Rodney, sorry.
Sorry, yeah, like, I just saw gameplay videos, and it just didn't grab me the way I thought it would. Because, I mean, the combat in Black Flag was really good. I really enjoyed it, and I really liked that you could upgrade your ship, you can get chase cannons... you can get different ammunition, all those kind of things. It was a lot of fun, but I don't know. I just watched that gameplay video, and it just didn't grab me, like I said. So I'm kind of skeptical on it. I'm gonna have to see more in order to make a decision whether I want to actually get the game or not.
Yeah. So I was gonna ask you if you were gonna pick it up and give it a chance.
Yeah. E3's around the corner. We'll probably see a lot more from the game. I think from what we've seen from the gameplay and stuff like that, it's still in like alpha and beta. So knowing Ubisoft, they haven't really shown off full-scale game yet.
If they make it available on Game Pass, I'll definitely try it out. But other than that, yeah, we'll see.
Another one I want to bring up is a game I've been looking forward to for a while. It's BioWare's answer to Destiny, which is called Anthem, their new IP. Have either of you seen Anthem in action yet?
Negative. I'm going to check it out right now.
No, I haven't.
So Anthem plays very similar to Destiny. It's heavily focused on multiplayer, but there is a huge solo side as well. Basically, it's team-based like Destiny is, where you can go as a group and stuff. But you have the, I guess, I don't know too much about the story yet, but basically the armor is very similar to like Iron Man from like Marvel. So right, you have these customizable suits of armor. And there's like different styles. So there's like stealth, there's like heavy machinery, which is just full on like artillery. They have like rockets on their backs and stuff like that. Then there's like just speed. So you can customize your suit to your play style.
Okay.
I'm out. I never really was a fan of those kind of games. Like, remember the older game, too, where you, like, jumped in, like, robots and you could, like, jump them around, and I can't remember what it was called, but...
He kind of looks like a Spartan from Halo.
Yeah. Just watch the trailer, Rodney. Let me know what you think. But this is definitely a game I will be picking up because I'm really excited for it. And I'm a huge fan of BioWare. It's a Canadian company. And I've picked up pretty much every game they've made. I was really hoping one of their games that they'd be announcing this year would be Dragon Age 4, but they've still been pretty hush-hush on that.
So, I'm just
going to... chance of us hearing about Dragon Age 4 at E3?
There is a slight chance, but it would either be like a small teaser trailer and no announced date, because they've got Anthem that they're kind of focused on right now, which they've already delayed. It was supposed to come out this year, and now it's, I think, beginning of next year, so 2019. I can't see them. Well, BioWare's a big company, so I could be wrong. Hard to say, but I'd be really excited to see something from Dragon Age 4.
Same here.
Yeah, this game looks pretty cool. My only harp right now is this guy is dressed in the Spartan suit armor looking stuff, and he has the helmet on from Halo that I hate. Like, I literally, every time I see that helmet, I kill someone, I teabag them because I hate the helmet so much. So that,
that I wouldn't worry about that. Though.
I initially got turned off, but I'm watching more of the gameplay and it looks really cool. And you can actually swim.
I'll check it out.
Yeah, it's full on customization. Apparently, like, there's hundreds of different like helmets you can wear, arm pieces, stuff like that. So you make the suit that fits your play style.
Yeah, what is it, like team-based, 4-on-4, capture the flag style? Or is it like
like I said, it's just like it's MMO, right? It's basically like BioWare's answer to Destiny. So it does have like a big focus on multiplayer, but if you watch like the gameplay and stuff like that, there is quite a bit of playable solo stuff.
Okay, so it's like okay. So it's supposed to be a Destiny killer.
Yeah, so it's not like, I guess I wouldn't say it's
Destiny killer. Yeah, continue. Yeah.
I wouldn't say it's a multiplayer style game, like, you know, if you were to do like a shooter. Like, I doubt there's going to be too much multiplayer, like where you'd be going up against each other. There could be some sort of multiplayer aspect, but I think the multiplayer is more of co-op, what I mean, Mark.
So it's another thing where you finish the story mode and then grind for gear with a team.
I don't know if it's going to be that bad. BioWare is usually really good, and I can't see them doing the same thing that Destiny has gotten so wrong.
Here's to hoping.
They probably got mad at Destiny and were like, let's just make our own game.
Which is interesting because isn't BioWare also owned by EA? Which Destiny's with EA or no? Destiny's Activision. So isn't EA's answer to Destiny?
Isn't BioWare? Don't they make controllers and stuff too? Or is that am I thinking something else?
No, you're thinking something else. BioWare is Calgary.
They've made a lot of good games too. They were the geniuses behind Star Wars at Old Republic.
Yes, I think they did the first.
They did the first one.
Let me see here. I'll look.
Knights of the Old Republic. Knights of the Old Republic.
Yep.
Game developed.
But gentlemen, we've left out the Xbox's biggest title on this list. It's gonna blow away the competition, and it's probably priced better than any of the other games on this list. And it's the America's Greatest Game Show, Wheel of Fortune, and Jeopardy.
Ooh, there goes my money.
For $30. And it's exclusive to Xbox One because they're not selling enough copies of Destiny.
I want to have a little bit of fun, too. I see a lot of people are having fun with this. But first off, Walmart dropped the ball big on the leaks, but they've also dropped the ball as they announced Forza Horizon 5. Now, what happened to 4?
It got leaked last year, and they're like, yo, no, 4's canceled now. No.
We're going to skip to 5.
I love how you said Walmart breaking news. Walmart just dropped. Walmart released. When did Walmart become a developer?
Yeah.
The day it leaked every E3 title.
Yeah, today.
Right? And another one I'm having fun looking at here is Lego DC Villains. But they spelled villains V-I-L-L-A-N-S. Valens.
Valens!
And then this one here is they announced a game. I don't know. I highly doubt you guys played the first one, Rage, from Bethesda.
No, nope. I never played it.
Yeah. But they announced Rage 2, which it's sort of been teased for a little while now. But Bethesda's having a little fun with it, too, from the Rage team. And they literally tweeted out the picture of the listing on the website. I don't know. I sent you the picture, Rodney. You see it, right?
You're talking about the response to Walmart's BS?
Yeah, the one from Rage, when it was like the Rage community team, like the development team. And they're like,
so, yeah,
incorrect
they,
PR. Not all caps.
This is on GameSpot, but they... Rage 2, they basically screenshotted Walmart's album art or whatever of the game, and they just like started critiquing it. They're just like, wrong font, not all caps, and here's our album art. You did everything wrong, basically. So yeah, it was funny.
Like missing age rating.
Yeah, a funny way to react to that whole them blowing the E3 lineup, basically.
Hey, at Walmart, here are a few notes.
Yeah, if Walmart became a developer, games would be like $20 because they'd make them for like a dollar.
If Walmart was a developer, their games would be garbage.
Maybe they could train their staff to actually like present themselves because you can never find a Walmart employee. Actually, you know what? No, that's I can find a Walmart employee before I can find a Canadian Tire employee.
Oh, 100%.
Just, you can't find anyone that works at Canadian Tire. Oh, so annoying. Anyways.
They just hide.
And then you're like, I actually want to talk to someone who works here because I need to get like one specific item that I can't find. And then everyone has every freaking item in the manifest memorized onto one aisle. It's like, Jesus.
I remember trying to find someone a couple years ago that took me almost an hour and a half because I couldn't figure out what oil I needed for my Harley.
Right. So we're going to go play some Fortnite. We're going to play the Thanos mode because I haven't played it yet, neither has Will. And Mark got his first win, so he's hard off that.
You can only play the Thanos player in solos.
Oh, okay, that's fine. I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, don't forget, you had some big news, Ronnie, you shared on our website as well.
Oh, yeah. Next Zelda's most definitely in development because Nintendo released a job job list of they need a level designer. So, and they specify that there needs to be a guy that's worked on consoles, needs to speak Japanese. So I guess my Japanese ain't as strong, and my level designing skills are quite weak. So I don't think I'll be getting the job. but yeah, that's exciting. So I'm not sure what to expect, because Breath of the Wild was so great, and like how do you top that, honestly?
Well, they haven't announced any more DLC for Breath of the Wild, so I wouldn't be surprised if you have a couple more things coming that might be announced at E3.
That's possible, yeah, that it's an add-on to Breath of the Wild, but like what else do you do, right? Like, I mean, they kind of tied it up with the DLC that they released.
Maybe it's just done now. One and done. Like, you have your game, the DLC, and that's what you get.
Yeah, and Breath of the Wild, we started working on Breath of the Wild just like basically right after Skyward Sword got released in 2012. So they worked on that game for 5 years, basically.
Yeah.
Right? So it would make sense that they're starting on a new one right now, because the Switch is going to be definitely the console for quite a while. Like, they're not going to release, like, oh, they might release a 4K Switch dock or something.
That'll
be basically what it is. It won't be a brand new Switch. It'll just be something that can support 4K. So yeah, it'll be interesting.
Well, they've
for sure.
been teasing that for a while, because they did a patent for something like a new dock for the Switch, I remember, last year.
Okay.
Well, you know what it was, though, is they brought the Wii out, and they brought it out so under spec that when PlayStation and Xbox came out, it literally got blown out. So then they're like, oh, okay, we gotta bring out the Wii U, make it a little better, and now that I think they finally got it right with the Switch.
Well, they were trying
literally to... Literally, the Wii was out, and then, like, the Wii U came out, like, 4 months later. 4 or 5 months from, like, when I got my Wii.
Well, the Wii U was still, like, 3 years later, so...
Was it? Three years? It was like, I don't think it was 3 years exactly, because that was...
And you know what? The Wii still sold quite a few... It sold 101 million units. So people did still buy the Wii.
People still did buy it, yes.
Yeah.
I don't regret buying my Wii. I regret buying my Wii U at launch, because literally after launch, it sat there for almost a year before another game actually came out that I wanted to play.
Yeah, I agree with that.
That's its Nintendo's own other problems. But I wasn't a fan. I regretted buying my Wii. I didn't. I wasn't a fan of the Wii system. Switch does look interesting, though.
Yeah, the Wii was great. The Wii U, I like the Wii U, but it just freaking bombed hard. It only sold 13 million units, so...
Well, it's because they released it, like, you just forced people to spend money and buy, like, the two... I think it was $250. But, like, usually you got, like, 4, 5 years, 6 years with a console. Like, we're still going with PS3, or PS4. But, like, I mean, to drop that and say, oh, now you need to buy the Wii U, and it kind of, I bet I probably rubbed people the wrong way.
Yeah, and when was the Wii U release? 2012? Okay. So it was released in 2012, and, November 18th, 2012. So they didn't release the Switch until the 2017, right? And was that right? I can't.
Switch
came out last year.
Yeah, so yeah, March 3rd, right? And Breath of the Wild was the release title, right, okay.
So then if you think about it, the Wii came out in 2006, so that means the Wii had a six-year life.
Yeah, but...
Well, because the Wii U had a three-year life, because the halfway through Wii's life, they brought out the Wii U.
No, they didn't. The Wii U didn't launch till 2012, and the Wii came out in 2006.
Yeah.
Oh, so I have 4 years. Okay.
Six years.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think Nintendo took a moment to like think about what they've done. They're like, okay, Wii U's out. Nobody's buying a Wii U. Why? Well, because there's no freaking launch titles. Like, they had Nintendo Land, which I liked.
And it's on Wii U.
Yeah, it's on Wii U. I liked it. It was fun. And it's fun to play drunk. But yeah. Other than that, they didn't really have anything until they didn't have a main Zelda game until Breath of the Wild came out. But they literally held off until the Switch came out to launch that title with the Switch. So I think
why did they do that? Like, why wouldn't, like, did they not have any confidence in the Switch? Like, you're not giving it a big name title
The Breath of the Wild was supposed to come out in like 2016, but they're like, oh, we're delaying it a year. There's some things we want to work out, is what basically what he said in the direct or whatever.
And they wanted it to be a launch title for the Switch, yeah, which made the Switch really successful.
Yeah, absolutely. All right.
Which was the good call, but like I'm talking about when they launched the Wii U, why wouldn't they launch it with something? Like, if you're not going to launch it with Zelda, then launch it with Mario. Launch it with...
I'm trying to remember what Wii launch titles were.
Wii U launch games. And, yeah, Nintendo Land, they had New Super Mario Bros., Zombie U.
They had a Wii U Sports.
Yeah, you know what? Oh, they had Pikmin. They had a couple of, like, I mean, Pikmin 3 I got for free, which was an awesome game. They're making another Pikmin, aren't they?
Yeah, it's been rumored because Miyamoto said there was one in development last year.
Right. Yeah, you know what? There wasn't a whole lot. I remember it was Nintendo Land, and I saw that there was a Zelda minigame, and that's what made me want to buy it. Or no, I went to the mall, and they had a demo booth, and I played the Zelda game, and I thought it was freaking awesome. So I picked up Nintendo Land and Zombie U, and that was it. That was their lineup for like 6 months, I swear to God. It was pretty boring, actually. So yeah.
I think I did Zombie U and Darksiders 2, and then I ended up getting Sing Party for free.
Hey, sorry, what year did what's his name die? Satoru Iwata.
Not last year, the year before, I think. Let me look.
Satoru. 2015, and he died from cancer, I think. Right. So. Yeah, complications from bile duct cancer. So, I'm wondering if, like, his health was starting to deteriorate around when the Wii U came out, because it seems like there was some sort of internal breakdown in communication, you know, with the launch of the Wii U, because, like, that was a really bad launch. It was just awful. Just awful. So, I'm wondering if there was a breakdown internally or something like that.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. Speaking of which, didn't Nintendo get a brand new president last month?
Oh, I don't know. It was...
Because when he died, Tatsumi Kimishima took over, and I'm pretty sure Kimishima stepped down... Let's see here. Shuteru... Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Right, yeah. Here. Oh, yeah. Furukawa.
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 And what did he do? What made him...
What made him famous? On the air researching. What this is. Oh, Forbes.com is weighing in. This is why. Oh man, I'm gonna butcher the crap out of this. Shuntaro Furukawa was chosen to be the next president. Yeah, I told you.
We apologize if we have any Japanese listeners.
Yes. Many have been wondering why he was chosen for the role. Thankfully, former president Tatsumi Kimishima. That was pretty good. Has explained Nintendo's reasoning on the new appointment. It turns out that Furukawa has had an integral job in Nintendo for a good while now, and he worked closely with Kimishima. Butchered. As well. Something that I'm just going to call him Kim, okay? Just to abbreviate this and stop embarrassing myself. Something that Kim went on to explain on a recent Q&A session. I was asked about my duties when I took over as president while Nintendo Switch was still in development, and one of my biggest responsibilities at the time was to launch that platform and to get it to consumers, just as we had envisioned. My second role was to change our directional structure to speed up decision-making and execution on a variety of projects that members of the management team were considering at the time. It takes people to support that, and it was essential that we build a structure that was allowed the new generation to play an active role. So... You know, that kind of goes on with what I was saying earlier. There may have been a breakdown internally, like a internal communication breakdown. And that's probably what made, you know, I'm sure some people got fired after the Wii U got launched and it did really, really bad.
Oh, but, yeah, definitely. Yeah. You don't escape something like that.
Yeah, it looks like the new president, though, Furukawa, he joined Nintendo in 1994 as an accountant in Germany, worked there for a decade, and then in the mid 2010s he rose into the corporate office. He's becoming with the executive department, and he's also an outside director of the Pokemon company.
Oh,
interesting.
That is interesting,
man. We got to get Reggie Filame on the show.
Yeah, and which is interesting here too is he's fully fluent in English.
Oh, good. We don't have any crappy translations anymore. for Nintendo Directs. Man, I'd love to get Reggie Fils-Aimé on the show. We should make that happen.
And he was also heavily involved in the development of the Switch.
Good. That's good. So he knows what he's talking about. All right, guys, we should probably wrap it up. Almost an hour-long podcast. And
Longer than an hour.
Nah, it's been 54 minutes, 30-some seconds. And then I can't count. I can't say the milliseconds fast enough for them. but, yeah, so just let us know your thoughts about the leaked list from Walmart. I'm just literally type in Google Walmart screws up leaked E3 list and you'll find it. Let us know what you guys think of those titles that were leaked, or if you think this list is BS, and what do you think is actually going to be at E3? That'd be a good topic to know. All right, guys. Anyways, thanks a lot, and we will see you all on the next one. Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.